The Movement Church is all about passionate people who build authentic relationships to reach limitless potential and serves Orange County, California. For more information, visit us online at theocmovement.com. We hope you enjoy this message from The Movement.
Way up in the mountains, in the high range of Pontoos, lay the small town of Whoville, the home of the Whos. Ask any Who, and they'll have this to say: there is no place like Whoville around Christmas Day. Every window was flocked, every lamppost was dressed, and the Whoville band marched in their Christmassy best. Arbor Day was fine, and Easter was pleasant, and every St. Fizzin's Day they ate a fizz pheasant. But every Who knew, from their 12 toes to their snout, they loved Christmas the most, without a single Who doubt.
Farfingles welcomes you.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Thank you for shopping Farfingles.
We've got a snoozlephone for your brother Drew, and a snoozlephone for your brother Stu, a munkle for your uncle, a fan for your aunt, and a fanpa for your cousin Leon. So we just need Cindy.
Say hello, Alfred.
Cindy Lou.
Merry Christmas. Cindy.
Oh, hello, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Fred. Excuse me.
Hi, Lou.
Cindy Lou, honey.
Dad?
Yeah?
Doesn't this seem like a bit much?
This is what Christmas is all about. Can't you feel it?
Merry Christmas! Thank you for shopping for me! Wait a second! Don't forget to change!
Another minute closer to Christmas!
And for the next 5 minutes only, 99% off!
Welcome to Christmas at the Movies at the Movement Church! Some of you got confused and you were like, did I come to church this morning or did I come to a 1990s movie? Was that when that was released, or early 2000s, something like that? But who can beat The Grinch That Stole Christmas? That is one of our all-time family favorites. And as we go through the month of December, what we're going to be doing here at the Movement Church is a series called Christmas at the Movies. And we're going to be exploring some different Christmas movies and some lessons that we can take away from those movies. In fact, in many of them, we'll be following a main character through the course of the plot and discovering the truths that are biblical truths we can apply to our lives as well. But today, I want to take a little bit of a different angle as we explore The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. And I want to look at a kind of uncovered plot inside of Whoville. Whoville. So that scene that you saw right there in the very beginning, it is Whoville, and they are preparing for their Whovilation, Whoville's most important celebration. Were you guys paying attention? You got to do it with me. Whoville's most important
celebration.
Thank you. You guys are with it today. So they're getting ready, and they're getting excited, and they're getting everything built up so that they can celebrate Christmas. And I don't know about you, but I think our lives are pretty similar too. The busyness and the hustle and the bustle and the things that we saw on the screen can kind of relate to each of us as we prepare for Christmas as well. How many of you went Black Friday shopping? Anybody in this room? You guys are crazy. I go Black Friday shopping every single year. And this year I decided to boycott Black Friday shopping because I was so angry because it was Black Thursday. And it was completely ruining the whole idea of turkey and sweet potatoes and sitting on the couch and letting all that food just sink in. People are racing out to Target to fight over and shove people down for massive size TVs, right? In fact, I saw a video, a YouTube clip of an actual fight that broke out. Fist fight that broke out at Victoria's Secret over a pair of underwear. People are crazy, y'all. I watched another YouTube clip of people who were going in Target or Walmart or one of those places that had TVs on sale, and they had them stacked up, and people were coming down the escalator and leaning over the escalator and grabbing boxes of TVs and running the opposite way up the escalator to get out before someone would get mad at them. And this lady comes and she literally like knocks a whole crew of them down because she was so angry that they were cutting in line. I'm telling you, it can get crazy out there as we get ready for Christmas. How many of you have your house decorated? House decorated? Anybody put lights up on the outside? I mean, the pressure to get our house decorated for Christmas, it comes so much earlier now. We have to set up before Thanksgiving because I love Christmas so much. I need the tree up before Thanksgiving. And then the lights on the house and the things that we do, there's pressure to get things done. And how many of you have children and have embraced a tiny little red elf into your home? Anybody? That little munchkin. Talk about busy at Christmas. That little guy, when he came out, that whole tradition, as fabulous as it was all intended to be, it could give you a heart attack. I'm serious. There have been mornings. Okay, I'm so sorry. Do we have any children in the room this morning? Before I like completely bust in the hallway. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit quietly. Is that going to work? Okay, so listen. How many of you have gone to bed and forgotten to move that dang elf? And you fly out of bed in the morning with like your heart racing and completely unclothed and like race into the living room to grab an elf and move it to another hiding place because, you know, the elf has to disappear at night and come back in the morning in a new location. And you're going to ruin the whole mystery of Christmas if you don't move the stupid elf. Right? There's so much pressure at Christmas time. Then, the past few years, Pinterest has put up all of these brand new ideas, and I love Pinterest, but oh my goodness, the pressure to perform at Christmas time. All of these ideas about these family advent calendars, and you watch on Instagram, and all of the people you know are doing like the 12 days of Christmas with their family or the 25 days of Christmas. Let's go ice skating one day. Let's have a picnic under the tree one day. Let's dress up in Santa suits and go to the beach one day. I don't know. All of these different traditions, and mind you, they are well-intentioned, and they are great memory makers. Who doesn't want to go ice skating? Who doesn't want to have a cup of hot cocoa by the fire? But the pressure to perform, the pressure to not miss a day, the pressure to make sure that you hit all of those traditions because you know that your neighbor's doing it and your kids are going to hear about it. The pressure that we can feel at Christmas time, right? I love that clip that we just saw because we saw the Who's bustling around at Christmas and little Cindy Lou Who goes, isn't it all just a bit much? And I think that's the question we could ask ourselves this year. Isn't it all just a bit much? I think Cindy Lou was trying to get to a deeper question. What's the why behind the what of all that we are doing? What's the why behind the what of all that we're doing? You know, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Isaiah 9, verse 6. And it says this, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The why behind the what of Christmas. If we're not intentional, if we don't slow down, it would be easy to get swept away by the bright, shining, sparkling commercialism of Christmas. It would be easy to get swept away if we don't focus on the why behind the what. That unto us, unto me, unto you, a child was born. Unto us, a son was given. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting, Ever-Present, Not Running Out on You, Father, the Prince of Peace. The why behind the what of Christmas. The why behind the what of Christmas. This is a gift that changed everything. It changed everything. And we can know peace and we can know joy like we never have before because of this gift. The why behind the what of Christmas. You know, Jesus is the reason for the season. It's not just a cliche thing we say at Christmas time. It's not just a quick answer that we teach our kids to spout off so they don't look completely selfish when making their Santa list. Listen, I have a 5-year-old and we sat on the couch the other day and she told me about all all the traditions. We were going to do it Christmas time because we love traditions in our house. I love Christmas. And we talked about the cookies we'd leave out for Santa, and we talked about the lights we were going to go and see, and we talked about her Christmas list and everything that she was hoping to see under the tree. We talked about it all, and I said, "But Avery, why do we celebrate Christmas?" And she said, "It's Jesus' birthday!" And I thought, well, that's great, but do you really get that? Do you really understand the why behind the what? Or is it just a conditioned response that we've taught ourselves to recite? Is it just something that we've learned to say so that we look godly? Jesus is the reason for the season. Listen, we're all consumed. We are all guilty of being consumed with the what rather than the why. There's a story in Scripture, and it's found in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, that I think goes quite along with this. And it says this: "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to get up and help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" He said, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things." And I find that so many people come into the Christmas season anxious and troubled about many things, stressed and overwhelmed by the pressure to perform, maybe anxious and troubled because of past experience that evokes hurt or pain. Maybe you've experienced loss, and Christmas time is a time that stirs up those memories. Some of us come into Christmas with this aching pain and hole in our heart, anxious and troubled about many things. Or many of us are guilty on focusing on the what and getting so caught up in the busyness and the traditions and the things that we have to accomplish that we become anxious and stressed and overwhelmed, and we can't even enjoy the Christmas season. You see, Martha was busy with the idea of Jesus. She was busy with this idea that Jesus was coming to her house. It was all about him. And I imagine if Pinterest had been around at that time, Martha would have been up all night pinning the most beautiful tablescapes she could arrange, running to Hobby Lobby to pick up all the supplies. She would have been pinning the most delicious recipes she could find on the web. She would have been pinning, and she would have been prepping and cooking. She probably would have had her brother Lazarus out on the house stringing lights to make it look beautiful, or running to Walmart to buy a big screen TV so that the house looked complete and gorgeous and perfected. Martha, if she had been on Pinterest, she would be what we call the hostess with the mostest. And she was ready and excited because Jesus was coming to her house. It's what it was all about. And she walks into a room and finds her sister Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she gets mad. She gets ticked off, like, "Here I am, doing all of this work, making all of these meals, making our house smell good, making everything just perfect for Jesus, and you're just sitting at his feet? Could you please, Jesus, tell her to get up and help me?" But Jesus says, "Martha, you're troubled and anxious about many things, but only one thing is necessary, and Mary's got it right." Mary was sitting at his feet. You see, when we sit, it actually involves a posture of focus and a position to receive. You're sitting right now in your seats and hopefully focused on what I'm saying. And you have a position to receive because you want to hear what's being shared with you. When we sit down on our couch to watch TV, we're focusing in on something and ready to receive, whether it's laughter or tears or whatever show we're watching evokes that emotion, but we're ready to receive. Sitting involves a posture of focus and being ready to receive. And what Jesus is saying in this picture here is that Mary had it figured out. She understood the why behind the what. Jesus was coming to their house, and there was only one thing she needed but to focus on him and be ready to receive. And Martha was so focused on the what, she couldn't see the why. She couldn't see the why. See, when the what precedes the why, it will rob us of our joy. Let me say that again. When the what precedes the why, it will rob us of our joy. Martha was stressed, and she was anxious about many things because her mind had gotten focused on the what rather than the why. So what I want to challenge us at the Movement Church this Christmas season to do is to get our focus back on the why behind the what of Christmas. So how are we going to do that? I'm going to give you three things I want you to remember. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, I want you to remember one of the ways we focus on the why behind the what is we carve out time to be still. We carve out time to be still. Listen, Isaiah 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. In the Amplified Version, listen, it says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." Stop working so hard and busying yourself so much and making so many plans. Just be still and know that I am God. We've got to assume a posture of sitting where we're focusing on who he is and ready to receive what he wants to do inside of us. Psalm 16:11 says this, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy." You make known to me the path of life. That means that when we are focused and ready to receive, that God will show us which way to go. We don't have to make a million plans or have a million agendas. We just need to know he will show us the path of life. And in his presence is this fullness of joy. It's fullness of joy. There's something about focusing and carving out time to be still and know that he's God. So how do you do that practically? Well, let me challenge you. I think the best time of the day that you can carve out time to spend with God is in the early morning. Why? Because that's when there's no interruptions. That's when the day is just getting started. And if we could put our focus and our attention on God in the first part of our day, just think of the trajectory of the rest of the day. Just think of it. And I know some of you get up early, early, early in the morning to go to work, and that's just not going to work for you. But maybe you carve out time at lunchtime or in the evening. But we have to be intentional about planning a time that we're going to spend being still and knowing that he is God, reading the word. And listen, we have no excuse. If you don't have a Bible that you actually open up, the pages that you turn on your smartphones, there's an app called YouVersion, and it has a million plans that you can choose from. You don't have to say, "I don't know what to read." Just click a plan and try it. Try it. Spend a little bit of time reading the word. Put on some worship music. Spend some time in prayer. But carve out time to be still and know that he is God, because in his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. So if we want to get the why behind the what at Christmas, we've got to carve out time to spend with him. Number two, we've got to avoid the comparison trap. I want you to watch this next clip.
No lights on in the house. Your mom must be shopping.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you're home. Oh, I can feel it, Lou. This is the year when everybody asks who has the most spectacular lights in all of Greater Whoville, they're gonna cry out, "Mrs. Betty Lou Who?"
Isn't this the chandelier from the dining room?
It's all for the cause, dear. Oh, and Cindy, could you be Mommy's little helper and unscrew the bulb there from the refrigerator? Because somehow I missed that one.
Go on.
Every year, Martha May Cuvier has the best lights. Well, not this year. This year, I'm gonna beat that prim, perfect little prissy Betty.
Hi! Martha! My, I've never seen so many beautiful Christmas lights, Betty Lou.
Well, I'd blow every fuse if I tried to keep up with you, Martha May.
Isn't this antique darling? It's handcrafted and almost 100 years old.
I'm really impressed.
This, however, is new.
Whoa, whoa. Hey, Betty, Betty, sweetie.
Well, good night, Betty.
Listen, hey, Theodore Roosevelt said, "Comparison is the thief of joy." Comparison is the thief of joy. If we want to focus on the why behind the what this Christmas, we are going to have to avoid the comparison trap. We're going to have to avoid it. I would take that statement even to another place and say comparison is the root of all inferiority. Comparison is the root of all inferiority. You know, for the longest time, this is the strategy that the enemy has used to invade our world and rob us of our joy. Comparison. It's a strategy of the enemy to get our eyes focused on what someone else has or what someone else is doing and make us feel inferior, like we are not enough, like we don't measure up. Trust me, I've been the mom who's been looking at the Instagram posts and looking at all the family advent calendar lists and going, oh my goodness, there's no way I can do all of those activities with my children this Christmas. I will go crazy. I'm not a good mom. And it robs me of my joy. And I have to refocus back on who God is and what this is all about, or else my joy is depleted because of comparison. Hey, listen, social media has like amplified the comparison bug more than anything else. You get on Facebook or Instagram or Pinterest and you see all these things that other people are doing. You see all these gifts that other families are buying, and it evokes this emotion inside of us that robs us of our joy. It makes us feel like we've got to measure up. We've got to go hard and run faster and do more because we've got to measure up. But that's just the lie of comparison. And comparison will rob us of our joy. So I want to challenge you this Christmas season. If that's something you're struggling with, then maybe you need to silence your social media. Maybe you need to just get off of it for the holiday season and not look at what everybody else is doing, but focus on what God has for you and for your family. We've got to prioritize things. We've got to prioritize our families, and we've got to prioritize our spending. We can't just compare ourselves to what other people are doing or families are buying and think that we've got to do the same thing for our children in order for them to have a great Christmas, because that's just a strategy of the enemy to rob us of our joy. Comparison is a thief. It will rob us of our joy. So we have got to avoid the comparison trap. And lastly, to put the why behind the what. At Christmas, to find out that why, we've got to let joy lead. I want you to watch this clip of Cindy Lou Who.
The whippoorwinds whipped high above the Who town. A trip or a slip, you'd slide all the way down. But this girl had a mission. She knew what to do. She'd invite the Grinch herself, that brave Cindy Lou.
Get ready for the boom! Gaze into the face of fear.
Booga booga!
Mr. Grinch, my name is Cindy Lou Who.
You see, even now the terror is welling up inside you.
I'm not scared.
Denial is to be expected in the face of pure evil. Doubt? Another unmistakable sign of the
heebie-jeebies.
Now you're doomed.
Run for your life before I kill you.
Where should I go? Danger!
Maybe you need a timeout.
Kids today, so desensitized by movies and television.
What do you want?
Mr. Grinch, I came to invite you to be Holiday Cheermeister.
Holiday Hoopy Whatty?
Cheermeister.
Huh? Cheermeister, celebrate with friends.
That's a good one.
I know you hate Christmas, but what if it's all just a misunderstanding?
Don't care.
I mean, I myself am having some Yuletide doubts. But maybe if you can reunite with the Who's and be a part of Christmas.
Maybe if you can reunite with the Who's and be a part of Christmas. Grow up!
Then maybe it'll be all right for me, too.
I'm sorry, your session is over. Please make another appointment with the receptionist on the way out.
Please, please, you have to accept the award.
When we focus on the why behind the what, we'll be full of joy. And when we can allow joy to lead us like brave little Cindy Lou Who, she walked straight into the Grinch's lair and stared at fear in the face and just smiled, right? When joy is leading us, joy will always be persistent. I love that about joy, is joy is persistent. It just doesn't give up. And joy goes beyond happiness. Happiness is a choice, is a feeling or an emotion. Happiness is, you know, something makes me smile. But joy is a choice. Joy is something we choose. And when we spend time in the presence of God, remember, in his presence, there's fullness of joy. So we choose joy. And when we allow joy to lead us, we can face anything that is in our way. So maybe you're here today and you're dealing with some obstacles, some things that are in your path, and maybe there's some fear that's been going on the inside. Whether it's fear of a task at hand, or fear of being able to provide financially for your family, fear that you're not going to measure up. Well, whatever that thing might be that's staring you in the face, like the Grinch, booga, booga, booga. Whatever that thing is that's staring you in the face, when we approach life with joy, when we allow joy to lead us, when we stay in the presence of God to experience the fullness of joy, we can face any situation, any kind of fear, any kind of doubt, any kind of struggle that might be coming your way this holiday. Maybe in this Christmas season, you're just reflecting on memories and things that have been painful in the past. But when you approach this holiday with joy, the pain of the past doesn't have to matter anymore. It can slowly fade away, just like we talked about in our baggage series. Maybe you actually have someone in your life who is like the Grinch. Maybe you actually have a person who you have to deal with that acts like the Grinch. But when you're full of the presence of God and you've got joy in your life, you can face any situation. You can smile in the face of insanity or fear. When you go to that family get together and you've got that one person in your family who is Debbie Downer and who is always negative about everything, you can just keep smiling and keep encouraging them to choose joy. Listen, Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is our strength. And joy is persistent. Joy chooses its way forward. Listen, joy is the steel rod that runs down our back and keeps us moving forward. Joy. Joy ignores fear. Joy says no to impossibility. Joy loves selflessly. And why? Because it's derived from the presence of God at work in our life. Joy. You see, we've got to work this Christmas at focusing on the why behind the what. Because in his presence, there's fullness of joy. We're going to look at one last clip here before we go today. And I think this just brings it all to a close. Because it took the Who's a while to get their focus off the what and onto the why. And here's what happens.
He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came.
Somehow or other, it came just the same.
Mr. Grinch!
And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling.
How could it be so? It came without ribbons.
came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags.
And he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before.
Maybe Christmas,
he thought,
doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.
Because it captures the heart of this movie. The Grinch has realized, but not just the Grinch, the Whos have realized that Christmas doesn't come from boxes and bags. It's not something that can be found in a store. It's not something that can be purchased. It's not something that can be created. You can try as hard as you want. You can work yourself silly during this holiday season trying to measure up, but comparison is the thief of joy. You can set a million traditions. You can shop for the best gifts. You can focus on the what, but remember, when the what precedes the why, it will rob us of our joy. We've got to get the why behind the what. The why of Christmas. That verse in Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born. To us a son was given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. That means that anything we need to know, any direction we're searching for, when we need answers, when we're confused, when we're frustrated, when we're upset, he is our wonderful counselor. He's our mighty God, able to move mountains, able to part seas. He is the mighty God, mighty God. So whatever situation you're facing, whatever you find yourself up against this Christmas, he's mighty God. He's everlasting Father. Maybe you are missing the presence of your Father. He's everlasting. He doesn't walk out. He doesn't walk away. It doesn't matter how far you've been, how bad you've gone. It does not matter where you are at in this room this morning. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Isaiah 26:3 says this, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. When we put the why before the what at Christmas, when we carve out time to be still and know that he is God, when we sit in a position of focus, ready to receive, when we're focused on him, that verse tells us when our mind is on him, he will keep us at perfect peace. He is the Prince of Peace. There may be storms going on all around you. There may be problems that you don't know how you're going to solve. There may be issues that are going on in your relationships, in your marriage, with your friends, with your family that you're about to have to see at Christmas time. But he is the Prince of Peace. And in his presence is fullness of joy. Joy. When we put the why before the what, we can experience the joy of Christmas. You know, I want to talk to those of you in the room this morning that are hearing this message and you're saying, I want that. I want to know joy and I want to know peace, but I've been struggling with this whole idea of faith, with this whole idea of who God is. And maybe you've been struggling with that for quite some time. Maybe you've just been convinced that it's okay to just be comfortable with believing in a higher power. But you haven't known the presence of God. Because maybe you haven't known his son that was born for us. That the government will be upon his shoulders. What that simply means, he's going to change everything. He's going to change everything. And so God gave the gift of his son that we celebrate at Christmas. But that little boy grew up to be a man, and he gave his life on a cross to die for yours and my sins, because the scripture tells us that the punishment of sin is death and an eternity in hell. It says that there's a separation between us and God because of sin, and that the punishment is death and an eternity in hell. And that sounds bleak, but we can understand the consequence. But God didn't leave it there. He said, but wait, the gift of God, the gifts, remember that son? The gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is a promise of hope, of joy, of peace in the midst of whatever circumstance you're facing. This is the thing I love, is the scripture that says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Joy is persistent, and he is pursuing you, and he will not stop. And I can tell you this, the only key to real joy and to real peace is to say, God, I surrender my life to you. So if you're in the room this morning and you've never made a decision to surrender your life to Christ, I want to ask you to pray a prayer with me that I'm going to pray in just a moment. And you can pray it in your own heart and make this between you and God. But I want to ask you, stop trying to make all the plans. Stop thinking you've got it all figured out. How's that worked for you? Joy pursues. And Jesus is pursuing you this morning. This morning, this is for you. If you want to know joy and you want to know hope, you've got to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Maybe you're here and you've been running. You've been just doing your own thing. Listen, he's pursuing you. It's time to come back to him. I'm going to ask everybody in this room to bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And if that's you today, I want to ask you to pray with me in your own heart, in your own seat, between you and God. Jesus, I surrender. I surrender my life to you. I know that you are God. I know you gave your life on a cross to save me from my sin. I'm tired of trying to do it my own way. I want to do it your way. So I surrender to you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more about us at theocmovement.com, or we'd love to meet you in person this Sunday. Until next time, Orange County.